I am that I am. I am your father. I am your brother. I am your sister. I am all that you have need of. Thank you this night for praising me. Thank you this night for giving me all honor and all glory for who you truly are. We have a great works to do, and you have been in a spider web. But this night I have torn the spider web apart, and you are free. You are free to flow with me. You are free to run with me. You are free to cry with me. You are totally and completely free. The prison door was open a long time ago, but you still stayed in the prison cell. But tonight is your day of triumph. Tonight is the day that you walk out of that prison cell, never to go back into it ever again. You have been long suffering. There are times you wanted to just quit, roll over and play dead. But you stood back up again, and you came running back into my arms. And this night, as you sang your songs of love to me, my arms opened wider and wider and wider to receive all of you. And I say unto you this night, I beseech you this night, never to go back in that prison cell ever again. You are totally, literally free. And the enemy has no hold upon you. Why would I not free you? You are my beloved ones in whom I am well pleased. I know there's still some flesh that you're trying to get rid of. But as you walk in the next few days, you're going to realize that flesh isn't there any longer. And if the enemy, and he will, comes around to try to make you believe that, no, the flesh is still there, tell him you're free and you're going to stay free. Bask in my presence this night. Know that I am a holy, pure, just God, and I am your Father. I only want the very best for you. In no wise do I want anything bad for my children. Walk in newness of life. Walk in the freedom my son gave you when he rode into Jerusalem. Walk in that freedom. The cross awaited him, but on that cross was your freedom. Sin no longer has a hold upon you. You have my nature. You have my spirit. Resurrection power does flow through your very being. Rise up. Rise up this night. Don't ever go back. Everything you need lies before you. Everything. I have cleared the path. The stumbling blocks have been removed. And all I want you to do is walk in the pureness of life that I have laid before you. Walk in surety of heart that I am there as you run into my arms to catch you and embrace you into my bosom. Know this night, my children, you are mine and I am yours. We shall have sweet fellowship each and every day. We will commune together, you and I, and I'm going to share the secrets of my heart with you. You will no longer feel like you are a bastard child, and you will no longer believe in your heart of hearts that you will not be set free, because this night, the spider web has been destroyed. The prison door is open and you are free. Soar with the eagles this night, my children. Soar up into the heavenly places that I have prepared for you to soar into. Do not allow the voices around about you to tell you any different. There is not one child of mine that has not sinned. Not one. My son Jesus was the only perfect one. So my children, quit looking at your past. Look, before you lies your future. Look into that. And don't remember what you did even this morning. Walk. Walk upright in all of your ways. Feel my love right now as I pour it out upon you. That love is drenching you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And my angelic host are going to manifest themselves to you. And they are going to bring you messages from the throne of grace. And you need to share them with my people. Yes, the darkness does loom before you. But the light is there also. And the light will lead, guide, and direct your footsteps. And what you thought you could never accomplish, you will accomplish. You are mine. I am yours. We are one. Right now, God is saying, come up hither. Some of you have been down so long that you feel like you can't get up. And right now, God wants you to come up hither. And get out of that mess you've been walking in. And just come up hither right now, God's saying. New day, new dawning. Total resurrection power. What was dead is now being brought to life tonight. And that sin nature that you thought would always have you bound, it's broken. The chains have been shattered. And you'll find yourself free. 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 Some of you have chains of despair that has you all wrapped up. God said he's breaking those chains right now. You're no longer a slave to despair. Thank you. I'm hearing God say, some of you have an overgrowth of sin. This sin has been with you as long as you can remember, and you just feel like there's nothing that can penetrate that overgrowth of sin so that you can be free. And God said, he's doing that tonight. He said, there's freedom all through the camp tonight. God himself is devouring that sin, and the enemy can't bind you ever again. Just receive that right now. Why do you do this, my children? Why do you allow the enemy to do something he has no right to do? He has no right to touch you in any way, shape, or form. And he knows this. But he still comes at you over and over and over again. He buffets you on all sides until you cave in. You don't have to cave in. You are my child, and you walk in resurrection power. Death has no hold on you. My word says, oh, death, where is your sting? Quit allowing the enemy to kill you. Quit allowing the enemy to have his way in your temple. He has no right. You have all power and you have all authority over your temple. You tell him to go. You tell him to go and stay gone. Do it as often as you have to until your temple is totally free. What you're dealing with is fragments. Fragments of the sin that was but is no more. And the enemy uses those fragments to torment you. These things have no power, no authority. As my son Jesus walked up Calvary's hill, allowed them to nail him to that cross so that you would be free from sin. Now, right now, I want you to see my son being nailed to that cross, and picture your sins being nailed to that cross with him. And as they placed that cross into the ground, then eventually my son said, "It is finished." Picture yourself free right now. Picture yourself free right now from all degradation. You have to see that. Excuse me. You have to witness that. There is no chain strong enough to bind you now, because you have that resurrection power flowing through you tonight. Freedom in the camp. Freedom in the camp. Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price. There's truly freedom in the camp tonight. If the Spirit's still working with you, please let him work with you. But I'm going to go ahead and teach about communion, because we have to do communion tonight, because God said this is going to seal everything he said so far. In the upper room, Jesus prepared both himself and his disciples for his coming death. That's what the upper room was all about. He gave the Passover meal a new meaning. The loaf of bread and a cup of wine represent his body that was soon to be sacrificed, and his blood that will be shed. With this, so became what we know and call the Lord's Supper. And Matthew 26:17 says, "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And Jesus said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" What an honor. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" Jesus answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" Jesus said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took... Now, what would you feel like sitting there, knowing that you were going to betray Jesus, he was going to be killed because of you, and you had to finish eating? You know, and it wasn't something you chose to do, but that was your destiny. You were born just to betray Jesus. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. I want you to stop and listen to this. There isn't a one of us in this room that doesn't have somebody that harasses us. We get mad at that person. But do you understand what just happened here with Jesus? That person was destined to come into your life to harass you. Think about that. We get mad at that person, but that person can't help what they're doing because that was part of their destiny. And why were they sent to harass you? You're being tested. And are you passing the test? What happened with Paul? He had a thorn in the flesh. It was a person who was constantly harassing him. And Paul asked God, take this thorn away from me. And God said, you do my work. I'll take care of this other thing. And as Paul was working for God, all of a sudden one day, that person was gone out of their life. Paul had to continue on with his assignment, even though somebody was sent his way to constantly harass him. I want you to really think about this tonight, and then maybe you won't react the way you do when people come against you. You understand they really can't help it because that was part of their assignment. I hope you understand this. God's saying, I'm opening new venues for you to understand why you go through the things that you're going through and to love the unlovable like I've asked you to. Over the years, a lot of us have been taught that communion is largely a symbolical thing or simply an act of remembrance. But it is clear from the New Testament that the early Christians saw it as being much more than that. Otherwise, why would they have taken communion every day from house to house? How often did they take it? Every day. So, you know, God wants us to have communion with him every day. We didn't take communion in here for years because God said they are taking it wrong. They are not honoring communion. So we didn't do communion. Everybody said, well, we have to do at least once a month. It was a ritual, had no meaning. And then finally God said, okay, now you can do communion again. And we were taught how to do communion and what it meant. Acts chapter 2, 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their group those who were being saved. Also, if it was only symbolic, why did Paul say what he said in 1 Corinthians 11:29? For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. I'm going to go back here where Judas couldn't help what he did because that was his assignment. A person told me one time, I'm here by your side to destroy you. He said, he didn't say God, I was trying to think. Anyhow, they needed somebody to destroy me. And they said, here, I'll go and I'll destroy her. And that person said, but I have not been able to destroy you. Instead, you've destroyed me. You know, the enemy. I destroyed the enemy. So, and that's real life. That happened to me. So I'm going to tell you guys once again, love your enemies. Love those who despitefully use you, because you don't know why they're in your life unless you ask God and God tells you. Are you listening? My first marriage, God said to me, do not walk down that aisle. I didn't know about God's voice at that point. I walked down that aisle, and it was the worst mistake I ever made in my life. That person was in my life to destroy me. And that isn't the one that said that's why they were there. But as I look back over my life, that person was sent to destroy me. Are you understanding this? If we'll look at this in the right perspective, we won't get all messed up the way we do. And we'll be able to fulfill the assignments that God has given us to fulfill without saying, well, what about me? I never read anywhere where Jesus said, but what about me? When he went to the cross, he never said that. So why do we keep saying, well, what do I get out of this, Lord? What Jesus got out of it was a lot of souls. That's what we're supposed to get out of life. We're supposed to be saving souls, not getting things for ourselves. So I said that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:29, for if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, and that's what the church was doing for a long time, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Think about it. How can a mere symbol have the power to actually make people that sick when it is misused, if it's just symbolic? The fact is, just like baptism, the Lord's Supper is no symbol at all. It is very real. Partaking of the life of Jesus afresh is what you're doing. And it is very clear from all the New Testament writings on this subject that the apostles were very aware how powerful and important it was. Yeah, I mentioned baptism. How many of you know that you were just dipped? You didn't get a thing out of that dip. They lined you up and they dipped you. And if you're one that you know you weren't truly baptized, and you need to go back and get baptized again and get filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't baptize anybody unless they're ready to receive the Holy Spirit. And we never see anybody walk away from the baptism not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what they do with the Holy Spirit after they're filled is up to them. You can either feed that Holy Spirit, in other words, make it come alive within you, or you can let grieve the Holy Spirit and he'll leave you. Okay. However, based on the scriptures, it is obvious that what we are really partaking of in communion is spiritual life of the most powerful kind, and actual refreshing within us of the bread of life and the cleansing blood of the new covenant that washes us from sin. Let's read that again. However, based on the scriptures, it is obvious that what we are really partaking of in communion is spiritual life of the most powerful kind, and actual refreshing within us of the bread of life and the cleansing blood of the new covenant that washes us from sin. You just don't get up here, you know, like the kids, they went two or three cups. they're not doing it for the right reason. Grown-ups will take it and not do it for the right reason also. Tonight, I want us to do it for the right reason. We are supposed to partake of it by faith, a fresh impartation of the very essence of Jesus himself. Let's take a look in the scriptures to find proof for all this. Remember Jesus' words when he first partook of the Lord's Supper with his disciples in Matthew 26:26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it. You can use these scriptures if you do communion at home, Matthew 26:26-28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. For what? The remission of sins. So when you're taking communion, I would be believing God that if I had sinned or there's any sin nature in me, that partaking of communion would take that away. Notice that he did not say this is a symbol of my body of blood. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. And that is clearly the way his followers were to treat communion from that time on. It was to be a real partaking of all the empowering and cleansing found in the spiritual body and blood of Jesus. It was to be taken in faith, receiving from God a fresh impartation each time. Remember these dramatic words Jesus had said in John 6, 53 through 57. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus said, for my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Read that again. As the living Father sent me, this is Jesus speaking, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. In the same passage, Jesus had spoken of himself as the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven in John 6:58. This is a bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. He who feeds on this bread will live forever. See that? We also know that Jesus is the Word of God. In Revelation 19:13, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, as well as the bread of life. This is the very essence of what we are partaking of here tonight. We also know exactly that the blood is all about. We also know exactly what the blood is all about. All the way through the scripture, we are told that the life is in the blood. And we are told that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You know, if I was had a sin nature, what I would do is I would get the communion. Every time I want to do that sin, I would get communion out and take communion instead of doing the sin. You might eat a gallon of wine a day. You know what I'm saying? We've got to really take this into our spirit and do whatever it takes to get the sin nature out of us. A few years back, God spoke to me and said, daughter, never forget the blood. Later on, God said, apply the blanket of blood. Yeah, I was walking here doing something, ministering, and God said, daughter, apply the blanket of blood. And then from that point on, God would say to me, do the blanket, do the blanket. And if you wrap yourself in a blanket of blood, that's a lot of blood. That's a lot of anointing. Amen. Question, are you ready to partake of communion as a fresh impartation of these very things to you? If you are, then you're ready to partake of it just as they did in the book of Acts. This is clearly why they partook of it every day. It was that important. They used communion as a means of abiding in Jesus and partaking of his life once more. It was like the children of Israel who partook of the manna in the wilderness each day to stay alive. We have heard of cases where people have actually been physically healed through partaking of communion in this deeper way. This is not surprising because they are partaking of the very life and cleansing of Jesus. How? by faith. We really need to be doing this all the time, just like the early church. We need to get back to the basics of the early church, to tell you the truth, in all areas, just not in communion. And we need to live holy lives every day, every second of every day, as they did, and bring more people into the kingdom. Because it said that people were added to the church, how? Daily. Isn't that what we read? And they were added to the church because the sinners wanted what the saints had. Question, what is it that the Corinthians were doing that actually seemed to turn the power of communion against them? 1 Corinthians 11:17. But now when I mention the next issue, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First of all, now see, they say, don't say anything harsh. Look what Paul's saying to these people. First of all, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that those of you who are right will be recognized. It's not the Lord's Supper you are concerned about when you come together. You bring in a lot of food from the outside and make pigs of yourselves. Some are left out and go home hungry. Others have to be carried out, too drunk to walk. I can't believe it. This was all going on in the church, the Corinthian church. For I am told that some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Is this really true? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace the church of God and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say about these things? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly do not. This is kind words, you know, don't upset this congregation. Paul wasn't concerned about that, was he? For this is what the Lord himself said, and I pass it on to you just as I received it. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." So if anyone eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, that person is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup unworthily, not honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if you examine yourselves, if we examine ourselves, we will not be examined by God and judged in this way. Do you hear that? But when we are judged and disciplined by the Lord, we will not be condemned with the world. So, dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. I know a church in Virginia that I visited. They were cooking up a storm in back of the church, and everybody was getting hungry, and I thought, you can't even hardly listen to the word because everybody's looking around saying, "When's it going to be done, Mabel?" And I thought, I was taken there as a visitor, and I thought, I never did go back to that church. The main problem seemed to be, number one, divisions amongst themselves. Number two, not preferring one another. Number three, and partaking of communion in a very fleshly and carnal way. Remember, communion is all about partaking of the one body of Christ. So it is not just oneness with Jesus, it is also oneness with our brothers and sisters. It is a thing of true heart unity. God's been trying to get unity in the Lighthouse Church forever, and he still hasn't accomplished that. And I found that out this morning. There's not unity, there's not love, there's not discernment. So I really want you who come here all the time to really check your hearts out right now before you take communion. And you know what you do and what you think and what you don't do. And I want you to really get yourself right before you take communion. Now, when I first started a church, you know, the people come in the house were all sinners. You entered the church. And every time we'd have communion, this one couple would not take communion. And God said to me, you go take them by themselves and you tell them that I know they are sinners, but I want them to take communion. And you know, so I told them that and ministered to them a little bit like about it. And they finally took communion. And you know what? Their sin nature broke that day. And they became different people. But they would not take communion because they did not want to take it unworthily. But God knew that they were trying to get out of their sin. And he knew that if they did communion often enough, that the sin nature would be broken. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So heart unity amongst your brethren is very important. As we sit in here tonight, we have to be in unity with one another. You know, God told me when I first started churches, I'm going to send you're just like David in the cave. I'm going to send everybody to you that nobody else wants to deal with. So I know when you come in, there's already a sin nature in you. It's not my job to judge your sin nature. It's my job to teach you the love of Christ and show you the love of Christ. And that love is going to wash away that sin nature. All right. Remember, we are all... Oh, I'm sorry. So heart unity amongst your brethren is very important. If you have something against a brother or sister, it is important to go and make things right before taking communion. So if there's anybody in here tonight that you have ought against, you need to go to them and ask them to forgive you. You want them to forgive you. You ask them to forgive you so that you can take communion properly. Remember, we were all kings and priests, therefore any one of us can pray and break bread amongst ourselves in our own homes and gatherings. Please, I really beseech you tonight to start daily communion and get that sin nature out of you. And until it gets out of you, you know, keep it in check, so that God can set you totally and completely free. But from what God said, you're already free. If I can remember what he said, you're already free. So when you take communion, you're taking communion from that stance. God, you already told me I'm free, so I can take communion worthily tonight. So what we're going to do at this point, Father God, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and I give you all glory. You are the one, Father God, that dictates what we do in each and every service. So tonight, Father God, as we taught about communion, and even as you spoke to us before we even started and gave us the truth that we are free, in whom the Son says free is free indeed, we are now going to take communion, Father God, worthily, knowing that you're watching every move we make, and knowing that you are saying, well done. So, Father, we just speak a blessing over this communion and over everyone that's taking it. And we just enter into this communion with joy, the joy of the Lord, knowing that we are eating of his body, drinking of his blood, and we are becoming one with our Maker. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.